it's Monday morning, and I know you saw the title of this one, and you're like,
topical, kind of, a month later-ish.
Oh, daddy.
Here's the weird thing. Yes, we will get into, we're going to get into the stuff. I'm sure you've been hearing about the stuff, but unfortunately, this, if let's say you're maybe new to the podcast in the last couple months to year, we used to do a thing a long time ago called Mini Bites.
Mini Bites.
Where we believe that forms of pop culture also belonged in our conversation. And so we would talk about a lot of things, you know, like TV shows and stuff. And we jumped into a bunch of Nickelodeon shows. Like we did one on Are You Afraid of the Dark? We did one on Guts. We did one on Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Go back and listen to those, by the way. Those are fun.
Super they're some of episodes. Our least listened to episodes. Really? And they're really awesome.
Yeah.
Because we're going to teach you about these topics, but also talk some nostalgia. But I always had in my brain of doing a Nickelodeon, just in general, kind of episode. Because, and we'll get into it later, the way that Nickelodeon, just seeing the, it's kind of like Halloween, seeing the word Nickelodeon makes me go, ah.
And that logo too.
Right.
It's really synonymous with
it. The Splat logo.
It just gives me such a good vibe of my child. This was such a major part of my childhood. And so keep in mind, we will eventually get into the rest of the stuff. But for now, we're gonna take you through the history of Nickelodeon. We're going to talk about some of our favorite shows. I think you're going to learn some stuff on this, and then yes, we'll have a conversation about
what needs to be done. Well,
what is now a complete and utter tarnishment on the way I feel about my childhood. So
accurate.
So, and by the way, the reason we are here is because of our Patreon members. We decided a long time ago that if we hit a certain point, that we would add an extra episode every week, being these brunch episodes, and it's all because of people that have so generously either come and gone in the Patreon community or have been there from the start. We can't tell you enough how important it means to us to support this show. The time we spend is unbelievable sometimes on a week-to-week basis. And we do it because we love you, but we also do it because there are people that are contributing to that and helping pay our bills. We're considering moving to a new studio again, where the price is even going to go up higher. So
might have to happen.
If you've not joined our Patreon, we have so many great perks there, and you're directly sponsoring the show. Go to patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Learn a lot more about that. And I do want to say,
if you're sick of having to hear that every brunch, then you'll be sick of to hear me say that it's literally life changing. And like, seriously, you guys, I can't thank you enough for supporting the show like you do. It is really a dream come true, and it's because of you. Thank you.
It is. Well, let's dive in to some Nickelodeon talk. Sean, I think you're going to start us off with kind of the early years of, I don't think many people realize how actually long Nickelodeon was in production.
It's a kind of a jaunt. I guess Nickelodeon, the broadcasting channel, has roots back to 1977, where it was an original programming network in Columbus, Ohio, as part of QUBE, Cube. Mm. Yeah, I mean, 1977, no one's ever heard of it.
I wasn't even alive.
Nope. The program aired nationally in 1979 with the show Pinwheel. Didn't look up what that was, but I can only imagine that there's a clown involved.
Oh, no. I hate clowns.
Pinwheel the clown.
Nickelodeon, taking its name from 5-cent movie theater starting back in 1905, started to gain legs, and originally being a commercial-free channel, along with MTV and VH1, they were purchased by Viacom in 1985. I thought it was really cool. I didn't know where the name Nickelodeon came from.
Where?
Like, it was that you spent a nickel to go see like a little short film in this little theater. And they just call them Nickelodeons. They're mostly for kids.
That's right.
Like family-ish kind of stuff.
Sometimes they were just those little things that you would eat. Somebody tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, but you could go into a theater, or you could just stand there and then you'd have to crank the wheel.
Yeah.
And then the wheel crank, it would play the video. Weird. And then you're done.
Like literally bend over and like in a viewfinder and crank a wheel and watch something.
Yeah. So strange.
Like Steamboat Willie, I imagine.
Yeah.
The name of Nickelodeon was a bit controversial, especially for executives at the network. Not only were they worried that children would not understand, which they were right about, they were also worried the word itself was too long, as television sets back then were a certain size and catching the eye of viewers was very important. Huge, huge word, you know.
But they didn't think of how fun the slogans would be later on, like Nick, Nickelodeon.
Yeah, Yeah, they eventually got it.
They eventually go, this is the perfect name.
After many iterations of a Nickelodeon logo, ultimately the job of making the network cool fell onto media and marketing geniuses Fred Siebert and Alan Goodman, who were responsible for the iconic MTV logo.
Cool.
I mean, iconic.
Come on, dude.
The duo made the simple but effective orange splat with balloon font logo, which would launch the network branding. I believe that that particular font that they use was like in 1949 or something like that, where that originally was a thing. Now being owned by a broadcasting juggernaut like Viacom means more money for the channel, which means more shows and sister broadcasting blocks. Nick Jr. premiered in 1988. Nicktoons aired in 2002. In 1999, the channel premiered Noggin, a children's learning channel. In 2009, the channel aired the wildly successful Teen Nick, obviously aimed more toward the teen audience. As of now, Nickelodeon is available in 87.167 million homes in the United States. They did pretty well.
Not too many.
You know, a little grassroots operation. Damn.
Well, that was super interesting to me because, like, my brain, and I think most people listening, starts in 1990. Like, that is when many would consider the Nickelodeon golden era, and because this is when they opened Nickelodeon Studios,
yeah,
which was a hybrid production facility attraction at Universal Studios Orlando. It was always in the beginning and the ends of the shows, and you saw it, and all you wanted to do was go there.
Yeah,
the Fountain of Gak and shit.
Yeah, that, like, globe that was out front, dude. Oh.
And remember me being on the beach, like, in Florida, not that far away from Orlando, thinking, like, dude, somebody's going to show up.
Mark Summers.
The limo's going to be, like,
walking
let's
by.
Go.
He's going to show up smoking a cigar saying, hey, kid, come on over to my my limo.
I see you just did a jump
and
there.
Get in.
You'd
see,
be perfect on my show.
Actually, now I don't like this anymore. That would have been a funny joke.
It would have been
until nowadays.
It would have, like, been 2 months ago.
Like, there's no difference between a limo and a van with no windows when there's just candy involved to entice children.
Well, Nickelodeon Studios became where the majority of the sitcoms and game shows were filmed. This is also the year that Nickelodeon entered a multi-million dollar joint marketing agreement with Pizza Hut. If you remember that, those two were like hand in hand. Nickelodeon, Pizza Hut, they were trying to rise together.
Did they do the pizza, like, reading thing? Or
that was
just
Book It.
Okay,
that
Book
was
It.
Book It. No, that was not Nickelodeon.
Read 1,900 books so you can get a free personal pan pizza.
Guess who did it? Me.
There's, like, a million times. There's nothing more, you know, exercise-y than sitting down and reading a book.
And then eating a pizza.
Exercise your brain pizza. And then feed it junk.
There you go.
So they had aired animation series back in the 70s, but in 1991, this is what many consider, this is where they went nuts, they debuted three original animated series that changed the game. Doug, Rugrats, Ren and Stimpy all came out in 1991.
Yep.
And that's when I started watching. Same. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I got to watch this. Huge successes. At one point, Ren and Stimpy was actually the most popular show on cable television. And of course, with that starts to come the Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah.
The slime starts to evade its way into the ethos. Of course, then this leads to a fourth animation creation, Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh, yeah.
Which then followed closely by Ah, Real Monsters. Mm-hmm. So they're dominating the animation game. You had Hey Arnold after that. Mm-hmm. They kept going down that path. In 92... that's when they developed Snick, which, keep in mind, for me now, I'm a 10-year-old and I'm moving into my teens. This was called Saturday Night Nickelodeon from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. So it was 7 to 9 for me. Mm-hmm. Saturday nights, like, wouldn't miss it. This is Are You Afraid of the Dark? Clarissa Explains It All. All that is starting to show up in this, like, teen version of Nickelodeon.
It's like there was their version of SNL almost.
Dude.
It was kind of supposed to be like that Saturday night, like, oh, what are you doing on Saturday night? You're going to watch Snick.
We made sure to watch it. Like, we knew it was going to be kicking off. Usually wherever we would try to be there for when that music started. Mm-hmm. For Are You Winning. We would try to be there. We're like, oh man, you gotta get in here, dude. Get in here.
It's the tale of the cursed boner.
They're about to throw powder cream on the flame and make it go.
No.
Actually, go back and listen to the Are You Afraid of Dark episode. So we're like, these kids are just out there, and you know they're just in someone's backyard, like, Billy, time to come home. Not now, Mom. I'm telling the story now.
Mom, on the story, damn it.
I'm in the middle of a story. Well, do you guys need more sandwiches?
Yeah.
More stuff? Do you want some more
obviously,
stuff?
God. So here's some other huge shows. Like, this is my era, and I know we might be different on this, but my era of Nickelodeon when I was younger is Salute Your Shorts, Hey Dude, Clarissa Explains It All, Secret World of Alex Mack, Adventures of Pete and Pete. I was even, do you remember You Can't Do That on television? Did you ever watch that? That was kind of...
You Can't Do That, yeah.
That was Canadian version, sort of, that made its way here. But for my money... The greatest show that has ever been produced in the history of the world, not just Nickelodeon, but something that was done so well for kids and done so perfectly was The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't think there's been a better actual television show in the history of kids television.
Yeah.
And that changed it for me. Hey, dude.
Live action. Particularly.
Yeah. Yeah. Salute Your Shorts, Hey Dude, Pete and Pete. Those were my games. Like, yeah. Those were my shows. And then, of course, you got to talk about all the ridiculous game shows.
Game shows were the shit, man.
Like, that was a big deal.
They had, I think it was Gas at the time, like the gaming one or whatever. But they would...
re-aired all that stuff.
Yeah, me and
they?
My cousins would watch the reruns, and they would be on real late.
Yep.
And we would just stay up and watch, like, Finders Keepers.
Dude,
Figure It Out was the shit. We loved those shows.
Here's a bunch
Double
of...
Double Dare.
Dude, so you had Double Dare, then you had... That was one of the first ones. Then you had... We talked about Guts, which moved on to Global Guts. One of the most popular kids shows ever. Yeah. Nick Arcade. I know we talked about that a little bit. That was where you were inside of the video game.
Oh man.
Wild.
Crazy.
Like, never really as cool as you hoped it would be, but like pretty cool. Wild and Crazy Kids was one of my favorite shows ever.
Same.
Donnie Jeffcoat and the other hosts, like, kids doing crazy things. It's so cool. We got a team. They're wearing purple shirts and they're wearing red shirts and they're going to ride a water slide, try and eat a banana.
Yeah.
Like, it was
wow,
always.
That's pretty wild for kids.
But like, I was like, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Like, we got to watch this. Do you remember What Would You Do?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Now on ABC. Yeah.
Legends of the Hidden Temple. Like, of course. Those shows were absolutely mind-blowing to me.
Does anybody remember a show that Matthew Lillard hosted? It was like a skate show.
Oh, no. Man. No, I cannot.
It might have been something else. It might have been another network or something. But then there was also a show. It was like crazy moments in sports that kids would do. And they would over-dramatize them like ESPN would. And
Skate TV.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, there it is. Watched that a whole bunch. Do you guys remember that sports show I'm trying to... I don't remember the name. It could have been the same thing, but it did like the overdramatic slow-mo black and white of like the kid doing the crazy thing and being able to pull it off. It was really fun. Yeah. Anyway.
No, and then really it went from there into what you would call maybe like the silver era, the next generation, which is where... Personally, like, I'm now aged out of this at this point. Yeah. Like, you're getting into Drake and Josh, iCarly, The Amanda Show, Kenan and Kel. This is when fucking SpongeBob SquarePants started on Nickelodeon, dudes.
This is basically, that's like your 2007 era.
This
almost.
Is like late, this is late. This is like early 2000s, early 2000s. Moving into the full 2000s.
Yeah.
Avatar, The Last Airbender. Like, mm-hmm. Did you guys watch any of these shows?
I watched Kenan and Kel a whole lot and a little bit of the Amanda show.
Yep.
Because my brother had a crush on Amanda.
I mean,
because I was like, when all that was happening,
ran through everything.
It kind of ran through everything. Yep. But they had a second generation of all that came out. But then you had the Amanda show. Kenan and Kel was another big one. But Drake and Josh was like was your next era. You had like Zoe 101, iCarly. Yep. That's when like 2007 and on is like when these shows like start to like really take off for. Kind of a next generation of live action kids shows, you know? Let's see. So it was August 13th, 2007. Viacom announced that it was going to shut down Nick Gas on that point.
Okay.
Sean, at the end of the year. And then it's a 24-hour version of the N taking over. It's the N standalone network, ran for less than 2 years. And so, but they had a block. It was called Teen Nick on the N. And that's where you had like Teen Nick. really came out, and that's where it was much more focused around these like teen shows. Degrassi.
Is it just because I'm older that, but it felt different to me. Like I know that a lot of those shows like Salute Your Shorts, Hey Dude, Pete and Pete, like they were like teen, but they weren't this kind of teen.
No.
Like, is that just because the world had changed and generations had changed, or was it a different age?
It was like back, you know how you used to watch shows and it was like watching Grease. The movie Grease, and you're just like, you're trying to convince me that those are teenagers.
Yeah.
Those are high school people. It was the same thing with like, Hey Dude.
Yes.
Hey Dude is like,
so good.
Okay. I know that they're not like, I know they're not young, but they're not old. They're not old, but they're not young. Those guys are like 19, 20, something like that.
Melody, Ben Stiller's wife.
Well, yeah. Christina Applegate was in that too, wasn't
she? Not Christina Applegate.
That's not her.
Christina, I think that, hold on, Ben Stiller's wife. She was Melody. She was Christine Taylor.
Christine Taylor.
She was in Hey Dude.
That's right. I'm sorry.
And what's so weird to me is you think back on like childhood crushes. Like I had a crush on Brad.
Yeah.
The girl named Brad.
Okay? Right.
Okay.
Sure, Mike.
Okay.
But and like Melody was kind of like the nerdy one. But like going back and watching Hey Dude, you're like, damn, dude, Melody. Well,
to go back to your like little point there of like the difference between like iCarly and Adventures of Pete and Pete. I think it's a combination of both things where people did kind of get older, but then there was a new generation as well. Obviously, I guess that's world coinciding, changed, but. You know, the iCarly is like, you know, iPod. It's like the technology kind of burgeoning. And I'm sure there was a lot of that reference in the
technology.
Show. Wasn't it like based off of just like literally texting?
It was based.
That's press pre-texting.
iCarly was based on a lot of like the YouTube.
Yes, you know, that's and, what it is.
Internet video like explosion, you know, that kind of thing. The content creation. Mm-hmm. That's what iCarly did. That's what they did.
Adventures of Pete and Pete was still when kids went outside to play.
Right.
And many of the storylines are like, the night where they try to stay up all night because their parents say you got to go to bed. They're like, why?
Why?
Like, well, I bet we could stay up all night. And they let them do it. It's like, it's just a different era, I guess, right?
I think it's better written too, to be honest. Like, I don't know. Like, there's...
Kids are dumb.
You
nowadays.
Say it in
so stupid.
I think you say it in the episode before Pete and Pete comes out. You're like, that show is a fucking vibe, never been said any better. I don't think because it totally is.
And I think if you actually go, I typed in a bunch of stuff like ranking Nickelodeon television shows or what are the best like it's pretty much a consensus when there's a rating involved that The Adventures of Pete and Pete was a masterpiece.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a masterpiece. The soundtrack, the just everything about it, man. It just hit me at the right time in my life. And that's where I think we can talk trash about like iCarly or something or Drake and Josh, but the next generation came around and that hit them
and it hit
at the right time of their life.
Yeah. 100%.
That's what Nickelodeon was so good at.
I mean, my fiance and I are like, 4 years apart or something like that. She's younger than me. We were watching that documentary that we were going to watch or talk about. And she was more of the generation of iCarly Drake and Josh and everything. And she could like reference like, you know, say lines from the show, and I'm like, I have no idea. It's lost
just missed
on
each other. Well,
it's funny. It's funny how thin that line really is.
4 years isn't a long time,
you know, because there's a lot of gray area, like of those generations of who decides to watch what. I have friends who watch that too.
Sure,
you know, who are my age, who would watch Drake and Josh, you know, even SpongeBob SquarePants, and like, you know, all these shows, iCarly, and they would watch these shows, and I think it just kind of depends on how invested you were in like pop culture at the moment that time. I think Pete and Pete, if I was going to go back to that, there was something kind of, I don't know, fantastical about it because it seemed like it was being told from this child perspective, even though they were talking to us in a very clear and like concise way of Pete, you know, who's telling us these things, but there's still something very like fantasy around it.
Yep.
It's, fish-eyed lenses in certain weird perspectives.
Already the strongest man in the world? Like,
already
what?
The strongest man in the world. The petunia, you know, the tattoos. And just the way that they would describe things. And it's true. Everything seemed like superlative, like incredulous, I guess, might be the better word. That's why Pete and Pete hit so hard, I think. And then you have like the stuff like iCarly and Drake and Josh and they started to not be, they started to be like that age of the person of the audience they were really trying to hone in on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Where Pete, my parents could watch it and be like, this is a great show.
That's pretty funny.
But my dad and mom would be like, I'm not watching iCarly. Like,
right. Your dad's like, oh, Iggy Pop.
Iggy Pop's in this?
Is that right? Oh my God, is that Steve Buscemi? I was just watching fucking Big Lebowski. And
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs, my God.
Kind of weird. I'm actually surprised to learn that it's still like Nickelodeon's still a thing, right?
Oh, very much so.
Like they're sort of in their fourth, fifth generation of just.
I mean, we can't understate the effect that SpongeBob had because it's really that is what's keeping that channel alive. I think, to be honest,
even just residuals on
reruns.
That?
Like, yeah, like. I mean, were you into SpongeBob at all?
I was
either
not.
Of you
I was,
two?
I was kind of aged out of that.
I would catch it, watch it. It was funny. Like there were points that you're like, it kind of held on. It felt like that last thing holding on to comedy that could stretch across a couple different generations.
Yeah.
It had jokes for the parents as well as the kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much same for me. It was like just around the time where I was getting into film. And auteur filmmakers. And like I did
this
like
is for kids.
Yeah, I did like what I saw of it. It was crazy and fun and weird, and that's fun. But yeah, it was just at the cusp of me not really
right.
Like wanting to get it more into cinema, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems like there's like they're trying so hard to keep things going. They'd have so many spin-off networks that were I don't know.
You couldn't keep up almost.
No, you really couldn't. And they wanted to try so many different things to just keep this network alive is what it felt like. I don't know. And honestly, they finally just started doing classic blocks mm-hmm. of their old cartoons and old shows.
We've all been literally asking for it, like release all the old shows in full seasons.
Yeah.
Like I own Pete and Pete because they finally did it, but give us Salute Your Shorts and Hey Dude. Like,
yeah.
Give us Clarissa Explains It All. Like mm-hmm. just go, here's the set. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix now or whatever. Yeah. It's on Nickelodeon's new streaming platform.
Yeah, don't
we'll
do
all
they
get
not
it.
Have one?
I don't know if they do.
I don't know.
That'd be
I think
stupid
well,
if they
I think
didn't.
I think that they do. They introduced it was 2015. They did Noggin. And Noggin had like, but Noggin was about like educational kind of stuff. That's when they started to break away from there. And I think they've just redone some branding more recently is kind of the new take on their new Splat logo. And that's about it.
So. I bet there's a lot of weirdness too. Like you hear a lot about, like what movie was that? We couldn't find it. Like it was a PCU. I think you're running into that weird era of like, they didn't do things right legally.
Yeah.
And things just yeah. like, ah, oh, fuck, that guy's not going to sign his rights off. Now we can never release Salute Your Shorts ever. You
they
know,
were
like,
all these networks were running on that one line in the contract.
Yes.
That was pretty vague and vague like, enough for them to get away with something well. Until they changed it.
Did you guys actually watch this Quiet on Set then?
I did. Yeah.
Well,
I did.
Before we get into dark stuff, I know we talked about a lot of shows, but like some other shows, like Rugrats, I was like, that was. Me and my mom were so into Rugrats.
But tell me why that show was so good. Because it's
know.
Really, it's like not good, but it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just that, you know, that Look Who's Talking kind of thing where, I don't know, it's just fun to see babies do adventurous stuff, I guess. I don't know. But like all those,
it's even not even drawn good. Like the animation's not great.
All those characters were just really fun.
They were
I think,
Tommy
you know?
Pickles, dude.
Yeah, Stu.
But dude, Doug. I like for my money though, Doug's better than Rugrats. Yes.
Skeeter.
It's Roger Klotz.
The best episode of that is obviously the Beats when they're the band. Beats.
Oh yeah.
Banging on a trash can,
drumming on a street light. You gotta roll your windows down.
It's unbelievable, man, that it literally just changed culture. Like, here's a bunch of shows. Fucking Ren and Stimpy?
Ren
Are
and
you
Stimpy.
Kidding me?
Yeah, come on.
Nicktoons was the biggest, I think. I think that was the most important era of Nickelodeon, really. Yeah. I mean, like, having Rugrats, Rocko's Modern Life, Ren and Stimpy,
Hey
Doug,
Arnold.
Hey Arnold, was huge. Hey Arnold might have been one of the bigger ones for me, and Ah Real Monsters creeped me out at times, yes. But at the same time, it was still very funny, and I would still watch it as a kid, man. Yep. I don't know.
I have two words for both of you. Rocket Power.
Rocket Power.
We are you at all, Mike?
Was Rocket Power?
Rocket Power was the group of kids who were like extreme skaters.
Yeah,
don't remember that.
Dude, this show.
Mike's a shooby.
I'm slightly older than you guys.
That show was fucking amazing.
FYI, I did find, just to answer our streaming question so no one's like screaming at us, Paramount Plus. Turns out that houses a lot of their the Nickelodeon library.
Okay.
So Paramount Plus, it sounds like that's really where you can get a lot of their stuff, even from like the classic era.
Clarissa Explains It All is on there. I was just thinking about, hey, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
The fucking brother.
Tell that kid to quit putting his fucking ladder on my house, chipping the paint. I got to replace that window again.
Dude, whatever happened to Sam, man? He was a stud.
Yeah.
He had the hottest girl in the neighborhood. He was best friends. He was in the friend zone with her.
Dude, Melissa
Joan Hart, come on.
You know that he's like going out that window, and then he's going back down. His buddies are waiting at the bottom. Being like, dude, did you do it again?
Yeah.
Dude, you go over her all the time.
Fill her up.
Feel her up. Come on. Jesus, Sean.
I thought that's what
you said. Way better. Feel her up.
Oh, man.
Anyway, from that to Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
I watch Blue's Clues a lot, and that's what I was watching when 9/11 happened.
Oh, yikes.
I'm getting a Paramount Plus subscription tonight.
Tonight?
Nice.
Tonight.
Okay.
All right, now your stuff.
Dark stuff.
Do you want to do more fun stuff?
No, we're going to play a voicemail real quick.
Okay.
Hello, chaps. It's Gareth here. No, I'm not Australian. I'm actually from the UK. You know, that little place over the pond where the people drink cups of tea regularly and eat lots of cucumber sandwiches. Yes, the UK. I wanted to drop you a message just to say how much I enjoy the Confused Breakfast podcast. I'm a long-time listener and a first-time recorder, I guess you would say. I listen to your podcast daily. And as I was born in 1979, all the films that you review are, well, just right up my alley. But in the main, I use the podcast to block out the noise that my four children generate on a daily basis. Yes, they're very loud, the little monkeys. Anyway, what I have noticed is that there aren't many episodes around zombies. And this is something that I'm marvelously interested in. So I was wondering if I could put in a request, possibly to have a review of Dawn of the Dead or Night of the Living Dead, or maybe even Day of the Dead. If this doesn't really tickle your boat, well, it definitely won't tickle AJ's boat. Sean's it probably will.
Yes.
But if this isn't possible, then I would also like to request Mary Poppins. Dick Van Dyke was a lovely chap and did such an amazing British accent. And that is also one of my childhood favourite films. Anyway, see you later. Thank you very much and keep up the good work. Tally-ho!
I like
he's not real.
There's no way. There's no fucking way that that's a real accent.
So our actual British listeners, please listen and tell us if this is an actual British listener.
I think we're able to tell. I mean, it very well could be a British listener putting it on.
Either way, Gareth, thank you so much for calling. That was amazing. Look out for Summer of 70s this August. We might be getting
coming
some
back.
Dawn of the Dead for you. Perhaps.
What about what was the new one that I like in the mall? Is that's the remake, right?
The remake
Dawn of the Dead.
Big fan of that one.
I dig that one. That tickles my boat. So I don't think that's a real adage, by the way. I'm pretty sure that is not.
I don't know that. A kind of a giveaway for it to be a real British person is podcast.
Podcast.
The way they say podcast. Podcast.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, man.
Confused Breakfast podcast.
I could listen to regardless. I could listen to you talk all day.
Yes.
And we really do appreciate you leaving
listen
that
to
for
us. Spend five minutes on just English accents.
Yeah. that's just fine. It's
three guys from Iowa.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well,
do we?
Let's talk about it.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys. For listening. That's been
They want to hear us talk about it. Okay. They want to hear us talk about it.
Topical. So have you guys watched it?
I very reluctantly watched it. I started hearing people talk about it.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to know.
Yeah.
But I also knew that I was scared that it was going to tarnish my feelings about Nickelodeon and how cherished I view the show, like the fun we just had talking about these shows.
Yeah.
I'm going back to Paramount Plus. I'm so excited. I'm going to watch Clarissa Explains It All Night. Drink a whiskey, Cedar Ridge. Yeah. But I was very nervous that it was going to tarnish my thoughts on it, and it really did. It's so fucking stupid that this kind of shit happens, and that especially in that era where it just felt so innocent and all these like amazing shows that were bringing joy to kids in the world, that like that this was allowed to fucking happen. And I hope these people fucking rot in hell. Like dude, you know what? Fuck, like do something bad to an adult. That's fine. Like, no, like it is. I mean, like
you're a shitty person.
Like yes. Do that to an adult. Oh, fine, whatever. But like when you do this to, when you like take advantage of kids, animals, elderly people, like you're a fucking piece of shit. And like now that I have a girl, I have a daughter, like imagining how I would be in jail for the rest of my life if I found out that something like this happened to my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without thought, I'd mm-hmm. be like, I'm going to stab Dan Snyder from his nose and then pull that knife all the way down his body and open him up and bathe in his insides.
Yeah. It's
I will do that.
It's gonna
if
be
you did this to my daughter.
Hot take. Just kidding.
Not even hot take at all. People are like, that's it?
Yeah, that's all?
That's all you do? You just basically do the thing from Star Wars that he does to the Bantha thing or whatever? I don't know what the thing is. But yeah. It's just it watching like the reaction, especially of like you know, jumping further into it, of like, you know, Drake Bell's dad, you know, of like him finding yeah. and understanding and just kind of it hitting him, and you're just like it's very, very hard to watch at some points. There are points where like when some of the kids were talking about, yeah, like we got yelled at on set, and like, I don't know, I feel like I drink because of, you know, some of the things that happened on set. I was like, that happened to me too, because I worked my job, but at the same time, you're like, but
yes,
all the other bullshit that is going on, that the people giving back rubs on this fucking set, and like people are like, there are things in any work environment that are not okay, and then you take it one step further and there's all this misogyny that you hear about, and there's all this like all the suggestive stuff that is just being fed to these people and then being promoted as normal, and it's basically just like the worst form of gaslighting mm-hmm. that all these people on these sets are going through. It's insane, and it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, it's the, like you said it, Mike, where how they allowed this to happen, but how they perpetuated this too.
Yeah.
Like, cause he was making money for them. So they didn't, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people knew or like had an idea of how fucking perverted this piece of shit was, but he was making them money. So it doesn't really matter.
They mentioned that multiple times. The kids did and the employees did, that said, well, but if I want to, like, this is my dream, being an actor.
Yeah, so of course.
If I want to be in the next, like all of that cast, like I got to be really nice to him, and mm-hmm. I got to hug him when he wants a hug. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah. What do you call the two women writers?
Oh,
like,
shit.
The hens or some shit like that.
The girls. Or yeah. It was the just girls. Can I just call you the girls or the chicks or something like that? It was, yeah.
It's just like the level of not even just baseline, like perverted weirdness of that guy, but even just like having the frame of mind of, oh, I've done so much for this company that I mm-hmm. am entitled to a back rub. Like, maybe it's not even sexual. That's still gross.
It's still gross.
That's
still
gross.
Very gross.
Like, taking advantage of your power that you have, no matter what, it being sexual or not, that's fucking stupid.
It's just, it's an old adage of like, when a person as ugly as Dan Schneider, he's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, he's an ugly man. He's overweight. I guarantee you he had never gotten like laid in his life, like willingly, kind of a thing. It probably everybody gets lucky eventually, but like
that's why they call it getting lucky.
Hey. And then to get into, he figured out that if he got into a place of power, then he can get whatever he wanted, mm-hmm. and that sucks. That like he had to go, oh, I can get into, I can like get power over these people to then now get what I want because yeah, that now is, look how cool I am.
Yeah,
that is honestly what it seemed like. It seemed like it just became this thing, and he just basically became an egomaniac.
He was never cool
and
until this point,
and then exploited the power that he was given as a showrunner, producer. The guy held the keys to the doors for people who wanted to be in the industry and especially go through Nickelodeon to do it, which should be what you just want to believe is the place it should happen for kids to be able to mm-hmm. go and hone their careers and be in that environment in a good way. And that's what we find out. And it sucks because you even see it when he's getting that like lifetime achievement award yeah. and people are still just like, oh, he's the best. Yeah, 'cause
they had to.
They just feel obligated to do it. Is that?
Yeah. 'Cause if they didn't like, oh, why didn't you cheer really loudly for Dan?
Yeah.
Well, it was like the girl who wrote that book. I wish my mom was dead. I'm glad my mom's dead.
Yeah.
She wasn't there. Right.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not fucking.
That's
sure.
right. Doing it. Sam. That was the other girl from iCarly. And then another one with Ariana Grande, God, Sam and Kat, I think.
And see, so I didn't watch any of that stuff, I didn't know, and I don't know if I would have known.
Sure,
but that's what's so gross is that all these like adult weird jokes that they put into it,
especially like that show being like a webcam based kind of thing,
dude.
Correct.
It's really
it's like this
weird
like seeing voyeurism that, like idea.
Yeah.
of them watching people, like, you know. I don't know.
Like seeing it out of context of them, just like the clips of her
Ariana Grande like jerking off a potato,
like on on the
give
bed.
Me the juice, give me the juice. Like what
is going
on? And Dan Snyder's laughing. Yeah, he's like laughing at how funny it
and
is.
And they got to laugh because he started laughing. It's just this
I hate it.
Very very dark perpetuation of this guy who got too much power, shouldn't have, and exploited it, and then. You find out even the worst parts of it of some
Brian
of the people,
Peck.
Brian Peck and then who was the other guy too?
Yeah. Well, it was like, to me, I was watching, this may be fucked up, but I was watching, and they're like, the stagehand or whatever the fuck was, he had a bunch of kiddie porn. I'm like, yeah, you're going to have that. And then there's another guy. I'm like, okay, what? Why? How is this happening?
There are just those moments. And you know, and I think this is the thing is, you know, I always try to see these things or I look at these and I think about how often anybody going like through formative parts of their lives, you know, first jobs, getting into, you know, times in school, and how often you just try to, you know, get through it. And you put up with things that you don't know if you really should just to get through it. And for this job or for this person or my boss is an asshole, but I'll just get through it. And then you see that these kids are going through it at like 13 years old and how detrimental that must be on the psyche.
Caused
those
a lot
kids.
Of problems for all these kids. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, Drake Bell, like, and almost turned into like a bad person himself. And I don't want to say that that's why.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Who
right?
knows?
There was some weird shit that he then went through, but it's pretty easy to then go, oh, well, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is no excuse.
Of course. Never is.
Obviously. But it's just like, yeah, I mean, in a weird way, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to go, I don't know. I hate to even
like
say
Amanda
that.
Bynes is like completely like we were like, oh, she's off the deep end. It's like, oh, well now. Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like such a.
What a waste of a talent for her too, because she was.
Oh
just
my
like,
God! Right.
My God, she was incredible.
She's outstanding.
And then just take some fucking gross ass pedophiles to just be like, well, you're ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's to watch some of those some of the cast from the second kind of revisit of all that, mm-hmm. you know, and watching them kind of look back on some of what they were, what they did and what they, the skits that they did, the sketches that they did, the jokes, the things that were happening. And they're like, why did we think that that was okay? Mm-hmm. And it's because they were told that it was.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And it's so, that's so fucked up. It's just so, man, it's so weird.
I just don't know how I'm going to make it through life, like trying to just be like, I trust that everything around my daughter is fine.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But also like, but I don't.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be that guy. Where like the, all those parents, like should they knew something was wrong, but they just went, no, it's probably fine. Not to their, it wasn't their fault. No. Like they were trusting that, of course, I'm just overthinking this, you know, like, but they knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And I don't ever want to be in that position of like Drake's dad.
I know.
Like, I don't ever want to be in that position.
Well, even that one girl too, who, like she wasn't interviewed, but it was her mom that was interviewed.
Mm-hmm. It was your mom, yeah.
It was like getting dick pics or like, what are you ridiculous. Wearing right now? Kind of messages from that fucker. It's just, and like, I'm so mad that like it's, there was like multiple of them mm-hmm. around during this point. But I've kind of seen that in my life mm-hmm. of like playing music and like playing at this one venue that was supposed to be like an art place. Mm-hmm. And the people involved with that, somebody was caught with that. And it's just like, it's so hard to associate myself with any of those people who were around that guy, you know?
Yeah.
And it just taints everything because like, you don't know, but you got a feeling.
Dude, that you can't tell me that.
And trust Brian that feeling,
Peck,
by the way.
That Brian Peck, as gross as he was, at some point didn't just go, she's pretty fucking hot, huh? Right? Like, you can't help yourself mm-hmm. if you're that gross. Somebody heard something. And that's what's really sucks.
And everyone,
like the, everybody you're talking about in this art gallery, like, you knew.
Yeah.
Somebody knew. Somebody had an inkling. Somebody had an idea. Like, somebody saw something, like you said, Mike, somebody saw something that wasn't right or was out of character, out of, you know, and it, like the one thing where it was one of the kids he was talking about, I think at Brian Peck's house, like the clown picture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was John Wayne Gacy's like picture that he got.
He was a correspondent with him.
And he really liked it. He's like, and yeah,
would talk to him. And you're just like, yeah, I think that's a red flag. Can we throw that one up and just be like, nope.
Time to investigate.
Red card, you're out. That's the kind of stuff, man, that like those are the awful fucking people mm-hmm. that exist in this world. And it's one of those things that you sit there and you're like, I don't want to be the overprotective parent mm-hmm. who watches and doesn't let my kid do anything for themselves. But then at the same time, you're like, I don't know how anyone's now supposed to exist in this world without, you know, overthinking.
I'll tell everything. You what though, the internet, as bad as the internet is in the age we're in, and as bad as sometimes this can go too far.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get away with a lot of this kind of stuff with the internet nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, I just think everybody's quick to just be like, bam.
Yep.
This guy said this. Twitter, tell me how great I am for saying this, you know, like, which can be a detriment sometimes because sometimes it's not true. But I don't know if there would have been internet back in 1998. Who knows?
I know.
Guess there was. But yeah, like, we know it today.
There could be some accountability with that. Who knows?
But it's this shit's happening right now. So fuck it.
And we saw that, too. You know, well, I thought the last thing I want to say is the case, the big case in this whole entire you know, quiet on set thing with Drake Bell and the kind of outpouring of support for Brian Peck.
Oh, God.
It was crazy.
And the idea, like, I kind of had to decipher it for myself to be like, okay, they kind of did this in a closed way. So that way people didn't know who it was who was pressing the charges essentially, or like, you know, coming forward on this.
Right.
So they don't necessarily know that, but then you have all these other people who are also like kind of some other celebrities and some other, you know, that are in support of this guy who don't know him apparently well enough.
Yeah.
but also came to him and said, "Hey, no, I didn't do this."
Yeah,
like, dude, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They're okay, yeah, sure,
yeah, and
okay, whatever, man.
The problem is that let me see if I can put this in the right order. They wrote their letters of, like, you know, in support of him, and they don't know who it is. Whether or not that they would have known if that would have changed their opinion at mm-hmm. that point. But then at that point, he pleads no contest to two of the charges. And it's like,
yeah, which they were not aware of when they wrote the letters.
Yeah.
And get off your fucking high horse, Hollywood. Like, it's not real life.
Nope.
It's not real life, man.
Bottom line. And they're just living in this, like, oh, what's the next gig? Everyone, like, Hollywood is just people in a waiting room. Like, you're just waiting. I think what's his name? Comedian, kind of a bigger guy, loud, raspy voice that we both like. Tim Dillon. Tim Dillon puts it really well.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, these people are just in a waiting room waiting for people to tell them what to do. That's all Hollywood is.
That's amazing.
It's just that. You know, they don't want the person that maybe helped them in their career to be shined a horrible light on them. They will come out and defend them if that happens. It's just fucking disgusting, because that guy's waiting too.
Yeah. What if he really didn't do this? Then now he won't give me any jobs after this.
Right. Oh no. It just makes you really kind of proud of the people who decided to step up and kind of, and really who felt it in their gut and said, no, this is wrong.
Their careers were over and ruined from there.
And I guess my career is over then, but
maybe someday.
Dan Schneider, you're a fucking psycho. Ugh. And I'm not being one of the girls in your writing room anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that anymore. And that's the kind of shit that you got to stand up and applaud for.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try my best to watch some old Nickelodeon today and hope to God that it's not fully tarnished. Cause I cherish the vibes that those shows give me. And I'm going to try it tonight. I haven't done it since I watched this, but I want to try to relive, cause I know it didn't happen all over the place.
Right.
So hopefully there's some good in it, but we'll see.
Well, and a lot of people are coming out about it now. Like, I think Kenan Thompson just said, it's really hard for me to speak on these things because mm-hmm. they happened at
ours were fine. Didn't happen to
it
us.
Didn't happen around me. It happened after I was gone. It wasn't on my, you know, I was unaware of these types of things that are happening. And maybe those are the shows to go back and revisit. So
I'm just not going
to
watch Nick and Drake.
I was hoping for the day we could cover Good Burger, but that fucker is in that movie.
So. Gross. Yeah.
Damn it.
We can still do it, and then we can just fucking make him the punchable face and just talk a bunch of shit.
Nice.
Nice.
Right in the beginning of the movie, the punchable face, Dan Schneider, not talk about him the rest of the show.
I love it.
We take 5 minutes to just bash the shit out of him. Wood punch, train, right to the nose, and then we never speak again.
Goodbye. We love you so much.
Thank you.